Welcome to the Lost Library, Seeker. Enjoy your stay.
A seeker, an angel child, the mother and living soul. The ten are drawn together to keep their world whole. A family saved from horseman's wrath, the harbinger slain, and with final breath, his death knell on hallowed earth fell, and at its sound, a shadow was unchained.
Hi, I'm Matt, the host of Lost Library and your game master here on Grayscale. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Hoadley, and you can find all of my projects at fifthstraw.com.
Hi, I'm Christina, and I'm playing Ashley Adirio. You can find me on Twitter at CWoodsArt, or on Tumblr and Instagram at ChristinaWoodsArt.
Hey, I'm Joe. I play on Bainbridge. You can find me on Twitter at TheJoeHadfield. I also do a podcast with Travis called WTF Anime.
I'm Melissa Wilkinson. I play Lori, and you can find me on Twitter at WilkyWit, WILKYWIT.
Hello, my name is Raphael Johns. I play Hallam Cardoso on the Lost Library podcast, and you can find me at EldritchRoth on Twitter.com.
So, we're going to dive in. We're going to start with Ashley. Ashley, it is... Night is falling outside. It's a late spring day. The school year is winding down to a close. This was one of your last National Honor Society meetings of the year. And being the responsible student you are, you were the last one out. And you're just putting some things away in your locker. And a text message pops up on your cell phone.
Who's it from?
It's from your aunt, Carrie.
I open it immediately.
It says, just in really terse language that you've come to expect from her, it says, get over to Bainbridge's classroom now.
I text her and say, I don't even say anything. I just send the thumbs up emoji and then head up to Owen's classroom. But quietly, because no one else is, I imagine, supposed to be in the school right now. So,
there might still be like some teachers working on projects, and there are still like a couple of your fellow NHS students that are like moving to the door. Mm-hmm. Probably some kids in the band hall still, like the proper band nerds are. We're gonna cut over real quick to Owen.
Hi.
It's been a long day.
It's always a long day.
And you're just doing some last-minute stuff in your room, packing things in, and your cell phone rings.
Yeah, well, it cuts off whatever music he was listening to, so he just, like, looks at the phone, whoever it is.
It's, it says, Father Milo.
Okay, yep, pick up. Hello?
The voice at the other end goes, Owen, hello. We're going to be sending a few hunters to your classroom, calling in a couple favors, and a young man from your school is going to be coming in to guide you for out somewhere.
Okay. I mean, I'm sure I'll get all this anyway, but any idea of the nature and like how long this might take?
Well, there's some trouble with the werewolves, the local werewolves. My understanding was that you and Miss Adario had dealt with one. So we chose the two of you, and a favor was called in. So your friend Helam is going to be coming along, and another newer hunter named Lori.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize. Wait, no. Okay, so Helam, like Helam, not another, like, actually enjoys the presence of young kids Helam.
And he's an educator.
Yeah. What's your point?
Oh, well, it's Mr. Cardozo.
That's fucking weird. Okay, must be some favor. Hey, speaking of favors, can I ask you something? We'll talk this over later, but I need to speak to you about something.
Of course. What can I help you with?
I mean, it doesn't have to be now exactly.
I have a free moment, and it's going to take everyone a minute to show up.
Okay, cool.
How can I help you, Owen?
So, First of all, I know I've said this before, but apologies for the whole Mallory blowing up in that guy's face. I need you to just reinforce that story that I am a traitor to the Knights. Like, make up anything you want, because the last hunt I was on with you guys nearly blew up because they knew I was a hunter. Knew I was a knight. So I need you to basically go through user influence or put it down to whoever deals with that sort of thing and tell them I'm the worst traitor possible. I've stolen everything from them. I have knowledge and I'm genuinely a very bad person.
There's a long pause and he says, Owen, that's, if that's how you want to proceed, of course we'll do that, but that's a very serious thing you're asking me to do. You're going to burn a lot of bridges.
They're all ones I wanted burnt anyway, so.
All right, Owen. I'll play this your way for now, but if you need us to fix this, I'll do what I can later.
Let's hope it doesn't come to that, eh?
We can only hope things don't get that dire.
Thanks. But seriously,
you're welcome. I might call that favor sometime.
Yeah, that's, honestly, not a problem.
All right. And we're going to jump over to Lori.
So I think Lori has just parked outside her big truck and she's walking through the school. I think it's been a long time since she's been in a school, since her own daughter graduated high school. So she's just really taking it in, like, oh, it's good to be back. And she's looking at every poster, every trophy, like, oh, this school's really good at track, and oh, they're doing Crimes of the Heart in the theater this spring. That's nice.
You do see Ashley's name on several trophies.
Oh, I'm very impressed. I'm very proud of her.
So you had received the same kind of text message. Milo had texted you earlier in the day and said, hey, I need you to, if you're still interested in doing hunting, if you would mind at this time heading over to the high school, to Mallory High. We're going to be getting a group together to head out to practice some diplomacy.
I think Lori's excited for diplomacy. She had kind of a rough time with the investigation with the gargoyles recently. She's like, okay, diplomacy, that sounds less dangerous. This is a hunt I'm up for.
And you're going to be showing up about the same time as everybody else, so we're going to jump over to Helam. You're wrapping up your day in your classroom, and your cell phone rings. Tell me what your grandmother's ringtone is.
I think that his great-grandmother's ringtone would probably be the Darth Vader.
Yes!
Classic.
That's
every time
good.
She calls, it's always something bad.
That's very, very good. Okay, so your phone had probably also been playing some music, and the music stops, and it's just the Imperial March. Just bum, bum, ba bum, ba bum, ba bum, bum.
Oh, right. And he reaches down, grabs the phone, and, you know, answers it. Hello, this is Helam Cardoso. Is there something that you...
Helam!
Hey.
Hello, my boy. How are you doing?
Doing fine, Matriarch. Just finishing up class, trying to get home to my dog and my cats.
Oh, good. So you're not busy. You're going on a hunt tonight.
Really? But I have so many things. I have papers to grade. Maybe another time?
Helam, you and I both know you were going to give them all C's.
There were like three D's in there, and I really needed to read to make sure I could give them those D's. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Anyway, you're going on a hunt with your boyfriend.
He's not my boyfriend. I just want to make that perfectly clear.
Your sex knight, whatever.
Please don't say the... Yeah, I'll go. Just don't ever say that word again.
Deal. Supposedly, this is about diplomacy with them wolves out in the forest. And listen... Listen, you know as well as the rest of us do that the lords have been very good business associates of ours. So do mind that our interests are maintained, Helam.
So diplomacy it is. You don't want me to sabotage this in any way, shape, or form.
Helam,
I was just wondering.
I don't want you to sabotage anything. I just want you to ensure that the Cardozas do not come to any harm in these negotiations.
So is that it? Is that all? Can I go so I can brain bleach myself from the way that you said sex now?
Absolutely. And remember, we're having a family dinner on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll be there maybe. I might have a concert or something, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. You had a concert last month, too. All right, run along. And I understand some new hunters are joining y'all tonight, so enjoy yourselves.
I'll let them know that you send them your condolences.
All right. Now you take care, Helen.
Bye. He hangs up the phone pretty quick.
Fantastic. Okay, so you are also going to be arriving at Owen's classroom at about the same time or at a thematically appropriate moment in the next scene. So, who gets to Owen's classroom first? Owen is not a valedictorian here. He's already there.
Can I get there first? Because I was in the building first.
Oh my, yes, you can. So, Ashley, you arrive at the classroom.
Is the door open? Or is it, like, closed? Because, like, teachers don't want to be there longer than they have to be, usually.
Owen, what's the state of your door?
The door is closed, and it looks like there's a black curtain over the window. But if you try the handle, it's not locked.
Okay, I will knock first.
Such a responsible young lady.
No response, but the door opens and Owen's standing there. Hey, Ashley. Right, yes, you, just, you know, come in. Don't mind the mess.
Okay. I go gingerly into the classroom. I expect there's probably sheet music everywhere.
There is a lot of papers. Some of it's sheet music. A lot of it is like kind of Owen's scrawled writing. That if you want to investigate is like all kinds of like just notes on the werewolves that he might have just done like a quick like copy of important information to know and like set up a packet in like the 5 minutes, that he thought you were arriving. And he's wheeled out a chalkboard that currently just says werewolves. And he's pulled like the curtains or like the blinds down, like if the classroom has a window.
I pick up the notes and look at them cautiously. Like, Mr. Bainbridge, is it okay if I look at these?
Yeah, of course. I've got a packet for everyone. Don't know if... really need
okay.
one?
What?
Oh, just quickly.
Yes?
Do I look alright?
I mean, you probably should, like, I don't know, like, brush your hair or something? Why are you asking me this? You're a teacher.
Because you were the first one to arrive and I'm very nervous about it.
Okay, do you have a comb? You should probably brush your hair.
Noted. Okay. And then he just turns back to the chalkboard and starts, like, writing out a bunch of things.
Okay, I will lean against the wall that the door is on, like, so I can keep a watch on what's going on in the room, but also look through the notes.
All right, who shows up next?
I think Lori will show up next.
Yes.
And she will see Ashley as she walks up to the door, and she starts this full arm giant wave, and she doesn't care that the rest of the school is quiet. She's like, Ashley! Hi, Ashley! Oh, it's so good to see you at school! How was your day? Did you have a nice day? Why'd you stay late? Did you also have like an extracurricular before you came to hunting? Because I know you're so busy. Ashley,
oh my God.
How are you?
I does Owen have an office?
Up to you, Owen.
Sure, why not?
Okay, I turn to Owen, I say, Mr. Bainbridge, may I please use your office for a minute?
Owen has a very, very thoughtful look on his face. It looks like he's doing very complicated math. I think that should be fine. Yeah, drawers are locked.
Thank you. Thank you. I go into the office. I open up my phone. And I text my Aunt Carrie. And in all caps, "You didn't tell me Laurie was going to be here." And then those of you outside hear a muted scream that goes on for about 5 seconds. That I'm not going to do because I don't want to clip the audio. But there's screaming, maybe some brief thumps, like head against a door.
Your cell phone's going to do the three dots of Carrie replying and then drop. And then the three dots back and then drop. And then three dots back, and it just pops up and says, "Deal with it."
I send her a gif of just someone like falling flat onto the floor, and say, "Okay." And then I go back outside into the classroom.
As you're walking out, your phone has more dots, and it pops up with a video file.
Yes. What's the video file?
So you play it, and you see this really weird angle of Lori walking into a office library in some room somewhere that is literally on fire, and a second later walks out with a kid in her arms. And your Aunt Carrie then types after it, it's like, "She's good at this. Deal."
I just type back, all lowercase, "Yes, ma'am," and close my phone.
Fantastic.
So, Laurie, do I need to ask, like, what that is? Like, how do you know her?
Oh, I kind of date her dad. Yeah, me Aww. And David just hang out and, like, we'll barbecue, we'll watch HGTV together. It's kind of casual, but, when I'm around that home, I want to make sure that I am a positive presence for those kids. I really want Ashley to look at me like a friend. It's not working yet. Oh, and it's not working yet? I am determined.
She'll come around.
Ashley walks out of the office with nigh murder on her face. Stops a second and schools her expression to less murder and more of, "Someone is asking to see my manager."
Do you have a hard day at school today?
It's finals week. There's not a whole lot to do.
Oh, okay. Do you guys watch, like, videotapes? That's what we did when I was in high school. We just watched E.T. a couple times.
No, we had to take some finals because it is finals week.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got out of a lot of my tests. Oh, I guess I just... Oh, I did the studying. I did real well, but I'm sure you study real hard, too. Oh, I think they do it differently. You know, school changes so much since I was a kid. What do you read in English class? Did you do a Mark Twain unit?
We did a Mark Twain unit in middle school.
Oh, they're starting them younger nowadays. Okay.
And into this increasingly awkward tableau, potentially saving Owen and possibly dooming him to his own awkward tableau, walks Hellum.
So when Hellum walks in, he's carrying in one hand like a couple of notes, because he also gathered some notes on werewolves. However, he's also carrying in the other hand a beaker of what looks like black liquid. He just sort of looks around at the awkwardness.
Ashley sighs and says, "Of course."
Ashley, Dario, right?
Yep, that's my name.
Did you do the biology homework yet? Or, like, why are you here exactly?
Mr. Cardoso, I'm not in your classes. I took biology last year.
Right. Sorry, it's hard to memorize all your faces. You all sort of look the same, kind of. And he takes a sip out of a beaker full of black liquid.
Owen just, like, walks over to Hellum, places his hand on his lower back, and leads him out of the room.
What's with your hair?
Closes the door behind him, hugs Hellum, and he's just like, "Holy shit."
I don't think it's appropriate for us to be, like, hugging in school, you know?
We
work here.
It's really, really not, but Jesus, that might have been the most awkward thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, they both look like, I don't know, Ashley, the young one, looks like she's ready to kill the other one. Is that, like, is the other one a werewolf?
I'm taught to ask, actually.
She looks really anxious to be in there alone with that woman. Are you sure we should just leave the student there? And also, why does your hair look so shitty?
First point, it's Laurie. She'll be fine. Second point, long fucking day.
And he sort of like musses around with like Owen's hair really quick, like tries to sort of fix it up. You look better. Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
And there is a cough behind the two of y'all in the hallway.
Shit.
Owen, really quickly, if I turn around and it's that voyeuristic blind priest, I'm going to flip out. Just want you to know.
I check over his shoulder.
It is not Milo. It is, in fact, a student that you know named Robert Grizz Lord.
It's not Milo. But if he walks into that classroom, it's going to get even more awkward. And I literally cannot deal with that. Hi, Grizz.
Hi. I'm supposed... y'all are... Okay. Someone said I'm supposed to take you out tonight. And his like face flushes and he says, I'm to the woods, to the tribe, to the council, werewolf, family, me.
Calm down, take a deep breath, and then speak using clear sentences before I hit you.
And this very large and imposing linebacker just goes, hello, sirs. I'm the one sent to bring you two and two other hunters out to the council meeting of the werewolf tribes so that y'all could do some mediating.
Great. Oh, God. Okay. Come on. Yep. Okay. Come on in.
This is going to be awkward.
It's going to be the worst. Oh, it opens the door and, like, gestures for Grizz to go in.
And Grizz walks into the classroom. Hey everybody, Matt, your host and GM, cutting in here for our regularly scheduled mid-episode break. I hope y'all are enjoying this first part of episode 3. I hope y'all are enjoying the shorter format, so you're not just getting a wall of an episode in front of you. We're going to be airing parts 2 and 3 of episode 3 over the next 2 Wednesdays, so be sure to tune back in for the rest of our adventures here. Also, did you enjoy the Blind Box one-shot that we launched? It started last week. It's called Halcyon Days. It uses a system called Masks, which is also a Powered by the Apocalypse system. And it features a bunch of our cast members. And it's run, GM'd by Joe, who's playing Owen. So go check that out if you haven't. The third part of that is going to be dropping this Saturday. So get hyped for that. If you enjoyed the kind of the Blind Box thing that we're trying here with these one-shots, let us know. We're planning on doing more. They're probably mainly going to be airing on Saturdays for a little while, or kind of wherever we need to put an extra episode. So let us know what you think about them. Let us know if you have any games you'd like to see us run. I can't promise you anything, but man, we want to get like a good list of things that we can do that y'all are going to find interesting. So you can find Lost Library on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Radio Public, Podknife, any of those kind of great places. If you have a place that you want to see us that we're not at yet, let me know, and we'll do everything we can to get ourselves on that service. While we're talking about where you can find us, we would love it if y'all could leave us a rating or a review on kind of your podcatcher of choice, wherever you can do that at. We're going to be looking for them, and once we get a few, I'm going to sit down with some of our cast members, and we're going to kind of read them on air. It's going to be a special episode that'll air, but we'll need some reviews for that to happen first. So do that. You'll hear your review on air, and plus it just really helps us out through some sort of wizardry that no one really understands. Again, thanks to Renee Rhodes for being the voice of our recap that you heard at the very beginning. She's doing an amazing job. Go catch Fate and the Fable Maidens over at Fade FM Cast and on wherever you find good podcasts. They just started a new arc this week, so get in on that. Our High Tide recommendation for this month is the Prism Pals podcast. This is a brand new, so brand new, in fact, that the only episode they've aired is their world-building episode. Their new episode, their first proper episode, should be dropping in less than a week, so get in on the ground floor of this one. It's a family-friendly, actual-play D&D 5e podcast featuring five LGBTQ plus individuals who are here to tell stories about family, love, and friendship. And you can find them on Twitter at Prism Pals. So look them up and get in on this new show.
The Red Stair is a room-scale virtual reality game about spying on your neighbors during a time of increased paranoia and fear of communism. Play as a secret agent in 1950s New York as you unravel the relationships of the denizens of the apartment building across the street and find out who is or isn't a secret communist spy. The Red Stair is available for free on Steam for HTC Vive and Oculus Rift. I made the characters for this.
Hey, I'm Matt.
And I'm Alan.
And we do a show called Forging Worlds here on the Fifth Draw family of podcasts.
Every week we sit down and for 45 minutes talk about a world that we create from nothing.
Yeah, you get to listen in on every stage of the world-building process as Alan and I figure out how exactly we want to interpret a genre and a modifier to a genre.
Matt makes maps because he has a good disease.
Yeah, it's great. And we also have just a good time with some other little small things and some plot hooks for you.
If that sounds interesting to you, please check us out. We're on Twitter at @forging_worlds.
And you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or on fifthdraw.com.
Come and forge a world with us.
See y'all there. How cold is the temperature in there right now, ladies?
Ashley is not deliberately making eye contact with Lori.
I think Lori is not talking to Ashley, but she's still trying to talk at Ashley. She's talking towards Ashley. She's just wandering around the music room. So, like, what kind of music do you like, Ashley? Do you like Heart? Do kids still like Heart?
To be fair, I am not like ignoring her. I'm just trying to process the fact that my dad's girlfriend is a hunter.
So Grizz walks in, followed by Owen and Helm.
Oh, hey, Grizz.
Hi, Ashley. Ma'am.
Hello, Grizz. Is that your name? That's nice.
Grizz Lord, and he sticks out a massive hand to you.
I try and shake it back as hard as I can. I'm probably not very effective.
He looks slightly impressed.
I try. I lift a lot of heavy things at work and at home.
He just goes, yeah, I can tell. Are y'all both hunters?
I think technically, yes.
Yep.
Whoa. That's awesome. I've never met other hunters. We kind of don't like them.
Well, sorry to hear that, I guess.
I mean, it's not your fault. Just a lot of them kill us.
Gritz, could you hurry up to the part where you do something useful as opposed to just making this off? Pleasant for everyone involved.
I'm not trying to make things awkward. I'm supposed to be taking y'all to the council.
And yet here you are.
He just looks at Ashley and just goes, "I'm real glad I got out of bio this year. I guess we can go."
Real quick, Matt, is there anything that I would have learned from leaping through what I imagine are Owen's scattered notes?
The basic kind of structure, there are just a couple of local tribes that live kind of in and around Port Avalon. None of them are very big. I think the largest one is maybe just a dozen people. They try to keep small. It's become more of a family unit rather than a tribe, so more like almost a nuclear family unit. This group has anyways. It's different in other parts of the world. But they still hold to a lot of the old traditions. So there's still a kind of a central council that kind of handles all the issues between the tribes. They're also really kind of set in their ways. in a lot of ways. They're not like super flexible about things. Oftentimes there's not a whole lot of interaction, at least not friendly interaction between the tribes. That's all kind of in there. You know that there's kind of a note in Owen's, like a annotation that says, the Lord family is part of a tribe of Reds. They're from the Red Wolf strain originally. There's a Arctic Wolf tribe, there's a Gray Wolf tribe, and there's a second kind of smaller breed Arctic Wolf tribe that's a little bit with a little bit of blacks streaked through their fur. But that's all that's really there. Like, most of the time the Greenfriars just leave the werewolves alone unless they're called in to mediate.
Okay, that's good. All good to know. So Grizz, is there anything that you think that we should know before we go in? Because I know how family is. I know that sometimes maybe shouldn't be talked about in like certain places, and it'd be better to find out beforehand rather than when we get there.
He just kind of blushes and goes, no, I don't know why they called you in.
Okay, that's fair. Mr. Bainbridge, do you have any idea?
I have a terrifying inkling. For why they brought me in, but I have no idea why they picked the three of you, and not in a demeaning way, just as I do not have this information. Grizz, when you said that your kind hates hunters, is that just like a general feeling among the tribes, or is that just a hunter killed my wife and bar?
Well, I mean, hunters are, y'all are like the last resort kind of thing. Like if someone has to call in a hunter, it usually means one of us is going to die. I mean, I don't know how y'all are as hunters. Well, I mean, I know how you are, Mr. Bainbridge, and Ashley is, I guess. I don't know how you are, ma'am, or how you are, sir. And he points to Lori and Helam, respectively. But hunters aren't like subtle. They don't tend to listen. They just kind of shoot first and ask questions never.
That's more of a Greenfriar thing, I'm afraid.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's who we dealt with. I had an uncle who went a little blood mad, like older people do, and killed a couple sheep, and like this hunter just like shot him right in the head. It was real bad. So yeah, we don't like y'all much.
I'm sorry to hear that, but that gives me a better idea of why they're sending us, because we're not like that.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, do y'all want to go?
Owen kind of looks to everyone else.
Yeah. Are we carpooling? Do we all want to get in my truck?
I don't have a car.
Helm holds up one finger and like drains the beaker.
Mr. Cardoso, do I want to know what that was?
A mixture of coffee and whiskey and some rum. Just because having to listen to Grits talk was a lot to handle. Let's get in your car. He sort of gestures his hand at Lori.
Mm-hmm.
And you, he points to Grizz, can continue to illuminate us on how your family works, or I don't know, what you ate for dinner, or hopefully something interesting, but
guessing not. I had salmon and some rice.
Yep, I figured there wasn't much going on in there.
Okay.
I've got to grab stuff from my car anyway, so I'll meet you guys at Laurie's car.
It's a truck, everyone. Please. Please. Call her by her name. She is a truck. Her name is Patsy, but, like, you don't have to call her Patsy. Like, I'll call her Patsy, but she is a truck. Please.
The look on the look on Hallam's face is now almost mirroring Ashley's previous look.
Oh, God. Well, I need to get stuff from my car, too. So I will see you guys out there at Laurie's truck.
All right. So we're going to follow Ashley, actually, first. So let's head out to the parking lot. This is the student parking lot on one side of the building, separate from like the guest parking lot up front and the teacher parking lot on the other side. Teachers mm-hmm. don't want to have to park anywhere near those gross teens, so they're not going to worry about that so much. Ashley, what is your car?
My car is a 2004 Honda Accord. It is light gray, and I have nicknamed it Swifty. Although I don't tell people that, because it's just like, eh, if it comes up. But it's not like, oh, I'm going to go for a ride in Swifty. It's a casual thing.
Cool, cool, cool. So, what are you getting out of the car?
Well, because my aunt has been training me well, I've got essentially my hunter's kit in the back of my car that I keep there at all times whenever I'm not at her place. I've got it in kind of like a tactical fanny pack, I guess.
Okay.
Like it's bigger than a regular fanny pack, and there's like room for stuff in it. But it's not a backpack, because I also keep my weapon in my trunk in a sling, I guess.
Okay.
And that goes over my back. So that is at the ready.
Okay. So you grab all that stuff out, you close the trunk of your car, and you turn to go walk over to Lori's truck. And standing right in front of you is a young woman. She has long red hair, and she's just kind of fidgeting, and you kind of recognize her. She's like a junior. She's a year below you.
I'm a junior.
You're a junior? Okay, she's a sophomore. Or no, she is a junior as well. I'll stick with that. She's your year. So she's just kind of fidgeting, and she just goes, hi, Ashley. And you vaguely remember her name is Jessica.
Hi, Jessica, right?
Yeah.
What's up?
You're here late.
Yeah, the NHS meeting ran a little bit late, and something came up that I gotta go take care of. But I've got a minute. What's up?
Oh yeah. You're. I'm sorry. I forgot you were in that in NHS. My dad doesn't really let me do extracurriculars. Sorry. I was just. I thought I saw someone, and I was coming over to meet him, and I saw you, and you were getting that stuff out of your car, and I don't know, are you going with Grizz?
Is there something that I can roll to just, like, read her and see, like, what's going on? I want to make, like, probably. An insight check.
There's almost certainly something like that. Yeah, it's going to be plus sharp. You're more or less investigating a mystery.
Okay, I got an 8.
Cool. So you can ask a question, and I get to answer it for you. So what happened here? What sort of creature is it? What can it do? What can hurt it? Where did it go? What was it going to do? And probably the one that's actually specific, what is being concealed here?
That's exactly what I'd like to know.
Okay. You realize you're kind of putting some pieces together, and you know a lot of the other... Like, Mallory High isn't a huge school. It's big enough. It gets the job done, but it's not huge. It is, you know, pretty much all the other girls in your grade. Maybe not well. They might not be your friends, but you know them. And you've never once seen Jessica out and about in town. Like, she goes to school here, but you don't really ever see her at the mall or... anywhere else. Like, you don't, you've never run into her at a movie theater like you have with all the other people here. And you're just kind of putting some pieces together, and she's asking about Grizz, and it just kind of twigs on you all of a sudden that, huh, maybe more than one werewolf goes to my school.
Oh, great. Yeah, Yeah, Jessica, I do have to go do something with Grizz. Whatever this is, it has something to do with Grizz. What's up?
Oh, nothing. I guess family stuff called him away. He and I were supposed to, and she like pauses and you kind of notice like her cheeks kind of flush and she goes, study.
Aww.
Study? Yeah. For a test. And she like bites her lower lip.
Sorry, as best as I can tell, this thing came up really suddenly, and I mean, you probably know that I am not super close to Grizz, but I don't think that this was anything deliberate on his part. He's not trying to blow you off.
Oh, that's good. Thank you. If you see him and if no one else is around, could you say you saw me and that I said hi?
Yeah, I can do that, Jessica.
Oh, thanks, Ash. Ashley, thank you. And she like steps forward like she's gonna hug you, and then she just like runs.
Aw. Okay, well, I think my trunk's been open the whole time, so I'll close my trunk. And I guess just head over to the truck.
All right. You're going to make your way over there. We're going to follow Owen to his car. I assume that you noticed the awkwardness that was Helm's reaction to Lori and decided to bail on him for the wolves.
I'm taking every opportunity to step away from awkwardness today. I don't want to deal with this.
Good. Fantastic. So you just dash off to one side, give Helm the slip, and you can just feel like the daggers coming out of his eyes when you slip down the hall away from them. You get out to your car. What are you getting, and what kind of car does Owen drive?
So I was trying to figure this out, and I realized I have the perfect thing. So Owen drives an LTI TX2, otherwise known as a hackney carriage. It's basically the taxi you see in London in movies. It's got a big boot. It's got space to put things. It's great.
Did you import the car?
Yep.
What color is it?
Oh, it's just black.
I doubt that there are any other options but black for that.
it's just black and yellow, literally.
Nice. Okay. So you're what are you getting out of there? Do you have like a hunter go bag or something?
Yeah. So I have like the leather satchel, which I described in episode one, that has like a bunch of bottles of water and also like spell components and stuff. After closing the boot, he opens up like the back door and like rummages around under the seat, pulls out what looks like, it's basically a long, about 4 feet long, something thin with like poking out bits at the top. Just like wrapped in leather with a padlock on it. And he just looks at it for a long moment and then just like slides it back under. He's like, I'm probably going to regret not bringing that. Okay. That's okay. Oh, and he pulls like his cigarette making stuff out of the front of the car.
All right. And you go to close the door and you turn around and there is a tall, thin man with really like kind of greasy black hair, just like inches away from you.
Ah, thank you for reminding me. Need a hairbrush. How can I help you?
Ah, there. And he just like leans in a little bit and sniffs and just goes, foreigner.
Yeah. Ireland. Mm-hmm.
Never been. Don't much like potatoes.
That's racist.
If this weren't probably one of the weirdest meetings I've ever had, like, there'd be a long kind of expose about, like, how Ireland is more than potatoes, but kind of in a rush at the moment, so if I were you, I wouldn't, like, go with the whole creepy vibe and then hang around a school. Just, like, throwing that out there. Yeah.
Okay, smart man. And he, like, brings his hand up and he just kind of idly scratches at his neck. And you can see he's got, like, an actual factual dog collar on. He just goes, "You stay out of my woods, foreigner." And he turns and walks away.
Great. I just lock the car and keep, like, tracking him as far as I can as, like, I head back to Laurie's truck.
There's like, conveniently placed copse of trees kind of on the edge of the property, and he vanishes into that, and you lose sight of him. And everyone is going to get to meet up at Laurie's truck. Laurie, are there still some, like, hellhound claw marks in the bed of the truck from when Riley murdered the good dog?
Oh, sure. I don't think I am prepared to deal with that right now. I'm like, that'll stay there for a while.
You just keep telling yourself it'll buff out.
Mm-hmm.
Can I pull Grizz aside for a sec?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Hey, Grizz, before we get driving and probably Laurie talks everyone's ear off, I just saw Jessica over at my car, and she wanted to tell me to tell you hi, and I think she said for you to, like, text her when you get a chance.
And he gets just, like, this big dopey grin on his face, and he goes, cool.
Yeah, you didn't tell her that something came up, I think.
And he looks scandalized. He's like, no, it's family business.
Well, yeah, but you ditched her, so you should apologize.
He just gives you this look and goes, okay, sure. Okay.
I just wanted to pass it out before we got driving.
Thanks. And he still just has that, like, dopey grin on his face, and he goes and just, he looks at Lauren and just goes, should I just get in the back?
Well, if you're comfortable in the back, I'm not going to make you ride in the back. There is candy there, though, if you want some.
And he's just like, if a human could really perfectly imitate that look that a dog gets when the treat bag gets opened, that's what just happened to him. Like, his ears went up a little bit, and he just kind of like, oh, yeah? And
he goes, if you open the toolbox, there are some Butterfingers in there. The little ones, the cute ones.
I love Butterfinger. And he goes and jumps in the back of the truck, and the entire, like, back just, like, drops a little bit and then bounces back.
I offer the front seat to Ashley.
Ashley is already in the back of the truck.
Well, I call back to her. I make sure. Are you sure you're comfortable back there? Do you got enough blanket padding?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. And I pull the window in the back open so we can hear what's going on in the cab, but so I don't have to actually be sitting in the front.
Who does take the front seat?
Hallam glances at Owen and is like looking at him like, do we have to do rock, paper, scissors for this?
Owen just climbs in the front.
Hallam sighs like, thank God.
Yep.
Does Hallam stretch across the entire back seat of the truck?
No, he doesn't. He sits cross-legged in one of the seats, and he's, like, reading over.
Did he bring papers?
No. He brought papers on, like, werewolves.
All right. So.
But imagine if a dog ate your homework after you had already handed it to the teacher.
Surprise! The dog that ate your homework is one of your classmates.
I mean, that would work really well if this wasn't Hallam, who would immediately give you an F.
Why'd I get an F, Mr. Cardoza? Well, a dog ate your homework, but I turned it in. Doesn't mean a dog didn't eat it.
I feel sorry for Oakley, that it has to keep forced being fed papers.
Oakley's like, no, please, God, eat it!
So much fiber in that dog's diet.
Raphael!
All right, so y'all are going to pull out of class or out of school and following, I guess, Grizz's kind of like shouted directions through the back window, start heading out of town. And that is where we're going to call the first episode.
The Lost Library is a production of the Fifth Draw family of podcasts and can be found at fifthdraw.com. You can email us at lostlibrary@fifthdraw.com or follow us on Twitter at @LostLibraryCast.